Lord's given me a little message this morning, and I was listening to the verse, and I thought, oh, it's almost Thanksgiving. It's not a Thanksgiving message that I have, but I think we can bring some good out from it. Trust the Lord will bless it to us. Look in Isaiah 55. We've been talking about how unsearchable the Lord is. His ways are past finding out. The things that He does for us that are good, can you figure those out? Can't really figure out why He's so good to us. And the things that He does, we know the things that He prepares beforehand. And oh, all of those things are so unsearchable. So here in Isaiah 55, he said, "Seek ye the Lord," verse 6, "while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We just need to be reminded of this from time to time, that we get kind of get to going on in our ways, and we maybe forget that God's ways are higher than our ways. As far as the heavens, as high as the heavens are over the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So as we contemplate that today, I'd like for us to just look at these scriptures and consider how far apart we are as humans from God, and the ways that we have of doing things, the ways we have of thinking, the ways that we normally, naturally have as people, and we think they're right. Let's see, Proverbs 12. No, it's, let's see. There's one in Proverbs 12, but it's not that one that I want right now. Proverbs 16 and 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Now think about that. These ways that are so much lower than God's ways, and yet all of our ways to us, they're clean. But they're a lot lower than God's ways. God's ways are so much higher. So that helps me to know that we as people sometimes can justify and say, this way that I have of doing this is just fine. It's clean. And yet, we may not realize that God has so much of a higher standard. Also, it's repeated a little bit different here in 21 and 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. This one in 16, it said, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. And this one says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. He's looking at us. I'm sure many times we get to thinking, I'm right. I'm all right. My ways are just fine. They're clean in my own eyes. Now, even people who are doing great foolishness and sin think this. They do. Look over here at Psalms 49. Look at this thought. Psalms 49, Verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. Think about this way of a person who trusts in his wealth. That's a way of a lot of people. And it's so much lower than the way that God would have us to think. They trust in their wealth, but with that wealth that they trust in, they couldn't ever save somebody with it. None of them can by any means redeem his brother. To me, that's a real picture of the between the two. God's ways are so high, but he's the one who can save. He's the one that can redeem. My ways, my thoughts, could never redeem anyone. Then it goes on in verse 11. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. But you know what? Even that the Biltmore Mansion, I was heard someone say this, that it was built by this person and never finished, and they called it after their own names, but now the descendants of it, who some of them had no interest, but some of them now, the taxes are so great that they have to use it as a tourist attraction to pay the bills on it. That lets you know people's thoughts of, oh, this will continue forever, and I'm just going to name it after my name, and my name will always live on this. But look at that. That it's not going to continue forever. Then in verse 13, this, their way, is their folly. It's a, you know what, I looked up this word folly. I thought I knew, well, it means foolishness. But the real meaning of this word is stupidity. It means a confidence that's actually stupid. It's not thinking. It's not, I don't use that word very often, and we never let our children call each other that word. But there is a time where that word is just the truth about something. And this thought, this way about people of trusting in wealth, of thinking that it's going to last forever, it's really that. That's all it is. It's a very foolish thought. This, their way, is their folly. And here's just how great a folly it is. Their posterity approve their sayings. People coming after people that have made it wealthy and maybe died in dishonor and their lives didn't work right, yet people coming on still go ahead and think, well, that's the way to go. Even people who see the ruin of people before them, they head off in that same direction. That's real folly. Their way is their folly, and their posterity approve their sayings. So God, looking down on people who had this kind of trust in other things, who thought that they were going to be all right, here's another extent that people have gone to whenever they have this kind of foolish trust. Let's see if I can find this now. Sometimes I look at it and then I don't remember where it is. It says, "Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way." Yes, Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 10. Here you have his judgment against Judah and Jerusalem for being idolaters, for going against the Lord, for committing spiritual adultery against him. And he's describing it here in chapter 57 And he's telling what they did and how they did it. Verse 10, he said, "Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way." You had so many things. The greatness of your way means multiple ways that you have sinned against the Lord, and it's wearied you. And then he said, "Yet saidest not thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved." And they said, "We're going to keep on like this." They're weary in it. It's not coming to any good. And yet people persist in going their own way. I think he said there in 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But remember what we read first. All of these ways that people trust in. The way that they trust in their money. The way that they feel like things will continue. The way they go after things that are idols, and they could continue and continue and continue, and that looks like that they would look at it and be discouraged and think, "There's no hope in this. There's no good end to this," and yet they just keep right on going. That's how strong it is in us to trust in our own ways and to think that our own ways are right, is this persistence in them, and also to see the ruin of it in others and to keep going that way. That's just how strong that we think our ways are right. That's why he said then to the Israelites, Prophet Haggai, it's right here between Zephaniah and Zechariah. But let's look at what he said, or God was saying to the children of Israel. Haggai chapter 1. Now these people, they were interested in their own things, their own houses. And this is the prophet who had come to speak to them the words of the Lord, that they had settled down and were trying to furnish their own lives and their own houses, but the temple hadn't been built yet. And he said, verse 4, Haggai 1, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." I remember as a little girl, sister. Let me think of it now. From Louisiana, the pastor, what was her name? Sister Laverne Manuel. She would preach this message, consider your ways. I remember that as a little girl. That's probably all I remember, just her getting up and preaching from this verse. Consider your ways. Now, if I'm already convinced that I'm right, and the people that before me, even though I saw that they got ruined and there's no hope in this, yet I'm persisting in it, this is what God is saying to those to us who do that. Consider. You think about it. Put it up and pay attention. Pay attention to your ways. What is going on? Look how it's going to end you. How was it that he told the Israelites, that you would be wise, that you would consider your latter end? That's what he said about the Israelites. Think about the end of where this way is going to lead you. Where has it led your family? Think about the generational sins, people that watched their loved ones go after this type of sin or that other, the other, and it ruined their lives. Think about people that have watched their father be unfaithful to their mother. Little children grow up knowing that happened and seeing the heartache and doing the same thing. Or it happens with abuse many times. Little children who grow up whose parents abuse them. Did you know they're very likely to do that same thing to their children? As people, our ways, we come to think this is normal, this is right. Every way of a man is clean and right in his own eyes. But God is saying, you pay attention to your ways. Consider. Put it out there and look at it. That's what he's saying. Look at it objectively. Look at it not this is my way. This is the way I've always done. This is the way my parents have done. Look at it in the light of eternity. Look at the end of it. Consider it. Pay attention to it. And he said that to them twice here. You pay attention to your ways. Consider your ways. And then in Jeremiah, there's several times in Jeremiah, four or five times, I think it's four times maybe, that he told them, amend your ways. And that's in Jeremiah. Let's see. Jeremiah 5, I believe it is. Maybe it's 3. Maybe you can help me with that one. I'm not finding it. Sometimes I look right at it and I don't get it.
Jeremiah 7:3.
7:3. Okay, thank you. And then 7:5. Mm-hmm. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings. Fix it. Set it right. Do what is right. Well, if you think what you're doing is right, how are you going to amend it? You've got to consider it. Consider it in the light of eternity and how it all will end. You really can't amend your ways and your doings unless you just get back from it and look at it and say, and also this, Psalm 139. And also there's one in Lamentations too. Psalms 139 and 23. Search me, O God. And know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Now this word wicked way, it really means see if there be any ways in me of pain. Are there ways in me that cause pain to other people? Or to you, to your heart? I've been justifying my ways. I think that my ways are all right. I never really consider them, but God is saying, consider them. And when you consider your ways, here's what we should do. We should ask the Lord, Lord, search me and try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Also in Lamentations, as Jeremiah was looking over the city that had been destroyed, this is what he wanted the children of Israel to do. Lamentations 3 and 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Have you ever done that? Have you ever come to the end of your way and realized I'm hurting people? I am not pleasing the Lord with this way that I have, and be really considering of your way and seek to amend or to fix it or to do what is right, to do well instead of doing my way. Lord, search me and try me and help me to do what is right before you. So this is what he's saying. Lord, search me, and then let us search and try our ways. And when we do that, then, here's really what my burden is this morning, Psalms. Let's see. Psalms 27 and 11. Here is our prayer. Psalms 27 and 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. See how we've come now in the scriptures from the thought of our ways being so much lower than God's ways, and yet we justify them, and we say that they're clean and they're right, and we even do it to the point of stupidity as people, like we read. We hold on to them, and we approve. People who come after us see the ruin and still approve it and go on in their ways. And we don't say to ourselves, you know, there's no hope in this. I'm gonna turn around. A lot of times we see it and we're weary with our own ways, and yet we just keep on going. That's what we read there in Isaiah, that they do that. But now, since we, in the scripture says to consider and then to amend your ways, search and try your ways, now we have this heart to God. Lord, you search me and try me and see if there be any wicked ways or ways of pain in me. And now, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Oh, when I think about how high the Lord's ways are than my ways. And this is what I've done before. I've just said, Lord, how am I going to know your ways if they're so much higher than my ways? How am I going to know your ways if my ways are always what I turn to, what I go in? It's just this is the way I think. Lord, teach me your ways, but how are you going to do that? Your ways are so much higher than my ways. How can I ever comprehend and know your ways? Now think about the ways of the Lord. The ways of the Lord are right. Let's look at those scriptures. One of them is Psalms 18, isn't it? Psalms 18 and 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Deuteronomy, I think, has another one. Deuteronomy 32 and 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. Just, that means just. They're right, they're fair. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. So, whenever I'm looking at what God has done and I think, that's just not right, that's just not fair. Really, I'm the one who's off in my thinking. Because God's ways are so much higher, and his ways are always right. One more. Over in the prophets. Let's see. Is it Micah? Let's see. Where it says, who is wise and they shall understand this? Prudent, and they shall know this, for the ways of the Lord are right. It's the last verse of one of these prophets.
How does it say that?
Yes, I'm sure that's it. Yes. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them, for the ways of the Lord are right. Now, every time that we get to thinking, you know, that's just, I just don't understand God. I don't think God's right on that. And we do, as humans, we have to admit, there are many times that we have said, that's cruel. That's not right. That's not fair for God to do that. This is the way a lot of people think, but we can just write it down this morning. God's ways are right. His ways are perfect. The thing is, they're just so much higher than our ways. And we think that our ways are right and clean and perfect, but they're not. They're lower than God's ways. And so our prayer is, teach me thy way, O God, and lead me in a plain path. Let's also look at Psalms. Psalms 25:4. His prayer, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Now, according to all these that we've read this morning, can you just see and understand God's ways always just on your own? We have to be shown. We have to be taught. So there's going to have to be something happen in our lives before we're going to understand, before we're going to have the wisdom and prudence to understand how perfect and right God's ways are. We'll never understand it. They're too far above us. But when we put ourselves at this place, Lord, show me your ways. Teach me your way. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Now, look in verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Teach sinners in the way? Yes, the Lord is interested in those of us. What did the scripture say? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That's what he's going to do. He's going to come to us even while we're yet in sins. Even while we were dead in sins, Christ died for the ungodly. That right there is his way of coming to the sinner and beginning to teach him his way. And that's the love of God. Can you write it? Can you put it all in writing and say, okay, there's the love of God. What does the song say? Can we with ink the ocean fill? Okay, how much of the percentage of the earth's surface is covered with water? You remember that fact in your science? Is it 3/4?
It's a whole bunch. I don't remember.
If we took all that water and it was ink, and every stalk on the earth was a pen that you put the ink in. Okay, you got that picture? And if we with ink the ocean fill and were the sky, okay, if the skies were the paper, the parchment, that we would take all of these pens filled with all of this ink and we would write the love of God on there, would we be able to do it? See, that's a picture of how great God's love is, how much higher his ways are than our ways. Romans 5 said something about for a good man. Some people would die for a good man. But to die for a sinner, that's a way that's above our way. It's so much higher than our ways. Lord, how can I love like you love? That's so far above me. How can I comprehend your love? It almost seems hopeless, but did you know the Lord can begin to teach us his way of loving? That is a education of a lifetime. Lord, teach me your way of loving. It's just almost like, will I ever get out of kindergarten? In learning how the Lord loves. Lord, you loved me when I was unlovely. You poured out your love upon me. You manifested your love to me in that you gave yourself, your only son. Jesus, you laid down your life for me, and I was a sinner. He'll teach sinners in the way. That's how he begins. He begins to teach us. When we're yet sinners, he loved us and he died for us. Then it goes on and it says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. So there is the problem. of will I learn God's way, which is so much higher than our ways, and yet he wants me to learn his way. He does. This is a promise. He will teach his way. I've said to him, Lord, teach me your way. And the Lord, this is the promise, he will teach his way, but who is he going to teach his ways to? He's going to teach them to those who are meek. Now we've got to find out, okay, what does that mean? How do I become meek enough to learn God's ways? What do I need to do? Do we even know what to do? You know, this is where the problem is, Lord. And this is where it all comes down to, is am I willing to surrender my way that I've had all my life? That I've thought, okay, this is the way it is. This is me. This is the way I think, and it's okay. We have to come to the point where we surrender our ways. We've considered them. The Lord said, you're going to have to amend your ways. And I'm saying, but I don't know how to think your way. You're going to have to teach me. You're going to have to show me. And the Lord said, you lay down your ways. What did he say? Let the wicked forsake his way. There's so much today of people saying they're coming to Christ, they're believing in Christ, but they're not doing this. They're not forsaking their ways. Instead, they're going to try to drag all of their foolish ways into the life of a Christian. And this is what we've got on hand today. We've got people saying that they're Christian, but they're still living their own way. The Bible says if you go your own way, you've gone astray. And he called it iniquity. So we have people today still pushing and cramming their own ways into what they call a life of Christ. How miserable is that? We can't do it. But we must, as the scripture says here, we must become meek without reserve to the Lord. Everything is laid out before the Lord. Lord, this is how I am. This is the way that I think. And I know it's not right. It's not what you want of me. But I'm willing. I'm willing for you to take and teach me. Now, remember what Jesus did whenever he gave the invitation. Come unto me. What did he say? Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, those of you who are wearied in the greatness of your way, but you've said, I'm going to still keep going in it. Now he's saying, you come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But we're going to have to take his way. He said, take my yoke upon you. What does that yoke mean? It means his disciplines, his ways of dealing with us. He said, you're going to have to voluntarily take it. Now, yoke is not just something that he puts on us and says, okay, this is going to harness you and I'm going to drive you into doing my ways. Is that how he does it? Is that how he teaches the meek his way? God doesn't drive anybody. We willingly take his yoke. And guess what? The yoke is, it's two. Remember? We put two calves in it. It was a piece of a harness like that. It had one person on one side, or one person, one animal on one side, and another animal on the other side. Jesus compared that to his disciplines in our life. Who's in the other side of the yoke? If he wants us to take his yoke. So we are in the yoke with Jesus. Did Jesus find it a problem to obey his Father? Well, you say he had to pray three times. We'll probably have to pray three times. We're going to learn obedience. Well, how did he learn obedience? Scripture says Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. But we've got this thought about suffering that's a bad thing. See how this goes? Our way is alleviate all personal hurt. I heard somebody say one time, they said, God is never going to make you hurt. If it hurts, then it's not God. I had to question that. I thought, you know what? There is a discipline sometimes in God's ways that it hurts the flesh, but it's good for the spirit. That yoke may be some things that are difficult, but Jesus promised here. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's where the hardness is that we, our ways normally as people are to be egotistical, to be proud, to be conceited, to feel like we're good. And Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart. These are the ways that I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you my meekness and my lowliness. And that's difficult for us. He said, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. It's gentle. He's long-suffering with us. He's not whipping us. He's not beating us. He's not driving us or forcing us. My yoke is easy. It's a yoke. But it's easy, and my burden is light. I really believe this is true. He has said, I want you to amend your ways. But we can't do it unless we do this right here. We take his discipline, his teaching into our lives. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I want to ask you something. Our way of, if somebody hurts me, I'm going to hurt them back. Does that bring rest? Does that bring rest to a person's soul? If a person has the idea, I hate that person, I can't stand it, every time I see that person, my rage boils in me and my face gets all red and my fists clench, is that person at rest? A person who feels that way. His fists are all clenched. His blood's boiling. That's not a person at rest. Jesus said, if you'll take my yoke and learn to love like I love, to be meek and lowly in your heart, to forsake vengeance and hatred and envy and strife and wrath and anger, all of those things, those are the normal human ways. That's how we react to everything that hurts us. Anger, resentment, strife, fighting. Oh my. What a weariness it is to constantly be struggling to be on top, to be thought big, to have a name, to strive for glory, to have... How is it to have delusions of honor? That's what it really is. There are people who dream of how people would look at them if they had this car, or if they drove, if they lived in this kind of house. Did you know people really contemplate those things? They really do. There's a word for that. We just read about it a while ago. It's really so foolish. But people really do this. They imagine whenever, sometimes it comes when you're a child, you think, when I get big, I'm going to be rich and I'm going to be famous and people are going to look at me and they're going to think I'm really something. You know, children, they really do think that way sometimes. That is a natural human way of thinking, that what I'm going to be. But he's saying here, you take my yoke and you learn my ways. My ways are meekness and lowliness, but you'll find rest to your soul. I'm so thankful today that he has promised to teach us his way. Lord, teach me thy way, O God. And then he says, the meek will he teach his way. The meek will he guide in judgment. Verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. There's really the way right there that we can learn the ways of the Lord, is that we take his way, we take his yoke, and we accept meekly all the things that he teaches us. Then, wouldn't it be wonderful then to live this way? Proverbs 16 and 7. And Psalms 37 and 23. So, Proverbs 16 and 7, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord. Now, we've shown this great disparity between God's ways and our ways. We've shown through the scripture how we need to begin to think about it and how we need to come to the Lord and ask him to teach us. And sometimes it looks like that's impossible. How can I ever get there? His ways are so far above our ways. But did you know that the Lord can teach us till our ways please him? That's our goal, isn't it? When a man's ways please the Lord. So it's possible. He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now that's an impossibility too, isn't it? It looks like that could never be. But did you know, taking the Lord's way of peace and love will make that happen quicker than ever me taking my way of vengeance and strife? And yet we just think, we don't even think that way, do we? We don't ever think of loving our enemies and being at peace with them. But when my ways please the Lord does something between me and other people where there used to be enmity and strife. The Lord works a miracle. And I've seen it happen. I know this is true. This is right. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Thank the Lord. Psalms 37 and 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well, he's in his yoke. What do you think? Wherever Christ goes, that's where I go. Because I'm in the yoke with him. He's plodding along and he turns this way. I've put myself voluntarily in his yoke. I'm going to turn that way too. I take myself out of the yoke. Where is my way going to go? I'm not naturally going to lean with the Savior. I'm going to head on out the other way. But when I'm in the yoke with Christ, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, who delights in whose way? I think it could be either way. But I really like to think that when I've surrendered my heart to the Lord, that the Lord looks down and he delights in my way. Now, how can that be? The ways of the Lord are higher than my ways. But whenever I choose his way, when I'm in the yoke with him and I'm following and I'm going, the Lord looks down and he's delighted. Now that's really where we want to go, isn't it? We want our ways to please the Lord. We want him to be delighted in our ways. And that's possible. Now we don't get the big head and say, well, I'm really impressing God. I really got this now. About the time that we think that, we've got a little more learning to do. But this is the reward, I believe, of being in the yoke, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And here's the other promise with that, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's the promise of me surrendering my heart and my ways to the Lord, is that if I would stumble and fall, the Lord is going to keep me from utterly being cast down, from being destroyed, because I have this thought. I wanted my ways to please the Lord. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to fail here. God, forgive me. Help me. And the Lord's just like, right there, holding you up, keeping you in the way. He doesn't want us to fail, to fall. I'm thankful this morning for these promises, these warnings, what I see in the scripture of him guiding us and teaching us, and the way that he does it. He said it's really easy. The way of a transgressor is hard. But the way of the Lord teaching us, with us in the yoke, with him beside us and him guiding us along the way, that's really much easier than the wicked who go their own way. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word today. It's my prayer.